each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello, and thank you for inviting me in your home on this beautiful Sunday morning. Today the Lord has made. The Bible said we could and should rejoice and be glad therein. If God loves you, there's no love any greater than the love of God. The love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that I can represent a God who is real in my heart. So I want to do a song for you here this morning. I hope you enjoy this one. And this one said, "Is my Lord truly satisfied with me?"
One glorious day Jesus came and he made me whole. He spoke completely and satisfied my soul. Now as I face life's dark stormy troubles, I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied that it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me? Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost soul into the fold, that I won't be unafraid of what's for me. If my Lord is fully satisfied, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he had it be. And when I come to that great eternity, say he is satisfied with me.
Yes, sir, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. I want to please my Lord in every way I can. I know that I fail and come short to the glory of God many times. But if God be for me, there's no power that can stand against me. You see, God is a forgiving God. He don't overlook our sins, but he just corrects us on them. Hey, he takes us out behind the barn sometime, gives us a good spanking or a good whipping. But anyhow, it's because he loved us. I remember my daddy used to say, "Now, son, I'm doing this because I love you." And I said, "Daddy, you're loving me to death." But my daddy did. He loved me, and he tried to bring me up right. And I appreciate that. I appreciate a good praying mom and a good praying daddy. And if you don't have that, you're missing it. I'll tell you, a good praying mama that'll stand behind you is one of the greatest things you can have. So I love the mothers, and I appreciate the fathers, and I appreciate the mothers. This is Five Sunday in this month, and this is the last Sunday of this month. So if you're intending to help us, you need to send those, send your offering on into the radio broadcast so that we can continue to tell you about Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's go now and do this song. This one says, "A Wall of Prayer." We need a wall of prayer around us all the time.
There are walls made by man, built by frail and human hand, that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there's one protecting me from my greatest enemy, It's a wall that Satan can't break through. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Oh, my brother, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me and pray a fortress round me strong won't move? And I promise you today, when I bow my knee to pray, I'll do my best to build a wall of prayer for you. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Calls me from a world of care.
Oh, but the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Yes, sir. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. The prayer of the righteous are not forsaken, and God always hears and answers prayer. Don't never think he's not listening, because God is always listening for the cry. I remember in the children of Israel was 400 years in Egypt's bondage, but he told Moses that I've saw their tears, I've heard their cry. So God hears and answers prayer. So mother, daddy, just keep on praying. Keep on bombarding heaven, and I'll guarantee you God will hear and answer your prayer. Well, let's go now and listen to this song, and hope you enjoy this one also.
I stood at the passing, felt the chill of death's cold hand, saw the last fleeting breath that life would give. Left no hope for their tomorrow, left no strings to hold on to. Why they didn't live for Jesus, I can't understand. This angel, he awaits us, each one of us he'll call. Life is like a vapor in the wind. For some it's just 1 hour, some die at 17. Others, they'll be able to fulfill their last dream. Oh, when my life is ended and I've said my last goodbye, won't have to look for freedom, I won't have to run and hide. Don't worry about me when they tell you that I'm gone. I'll be in the arms of Jesus, be sitting around the throne. This world holds nothing for me, this world is not my home. Don't worry about me when they tell you that I'm gone. But when my life is ended and I've said my last goodbye, I won't have to look for freedom, I won't have to run and hide. Don't worry about me when they tell you that I'm gone. I'll be in the arms of Jesus, singing around the throne. This world holds nothing for me, this world is not my home. Don't worry about me when they tell you that I'm gone. When they tell you that I'm gone.
Yes, sir, don't worry about me when they tell you that I'm gone, because I'm going to leave this world one day. And I know that. It's appointed unto man once to die. It's not if we die, but when we die, we're going to have to face God. And I trust today that you're ready to meet God. I appreciate all my friends today. I'm not going to be mentioning any names, but I do want you to come with us at the church this morning. We'll be at the Pillar of Truth Church this morning preaching, and then back again next Sunday morning, and up at Red Sulphur on the second Sunday. We go up there on the second Sunday and the fourth Sunday. Red Sulphur has been so good to help us down through the years in the radio ministry, and I appreciate all the people who helped me. It helps to support this broadcast because it's very important to a lot of people. I haven't heard from several of my friends in the last little while. I hope they're doing all right, though. So let's go right now and do this song for you, and hope you enjoy this one.
Sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long weary day. I'll meet you in the morning with a by the river, and with rapture all acquaintance renew. You'll love me in the morning by the smile that I wear when I meet you in the morning.
Martha doing that song. Martha's not doing too good, so you continue to pray for her. I miss her here at home. I miss her on the radio broadcast, and I know that you miss her, but I know that you're praying for her. That's the important thing. I'm praying for you. I know there's a lot of people there in my listening audience that's sick and shut-in people, and that's what this broadcast does. It reaches into the homes, automobiles, the convalescent places, the penitentiaries, wherever you are, and tells you about God's love. And there's nothing more important than being able to tell you about God's love. So let's do one more song for you, and then I'm going to come back with today's message.
The old house I'm living in, well, it's need repair. The windows and the shutters letting in the cold, cold air. Well, I say to myself, I need to fix them. When I can get some time, but all home of mine. Lately all I've got is leaving all behind. You know, it seems that's all I've been thinking about most of the time. That soon and very soon I'll leave this old world, oh, so far behind. And lately I've got leaving all the mind. You know, so many people, they say, why don't you get out of there and go find you a better place to live? Oh, but I just can't seem to get excited about this old world and what it's got to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. Oh, what good would a world do me with this leaving all my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving all. You know, that's all that I've been thinking about most of the time. Now that soon and very soon I'll leave this whole world, oh, so far behind. And lately I've got
that you're Elias. Others say you're Jeremiah or either one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Father, your word to your people honored. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to ask the question this morning, who is Jesus Christ? There's never been a man that ever changed the courses of history like this man. They say there's never been a man like Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a historian. I love history. I suppose that's really what connected me with biblical structures, because I love the history side of the Bible. I love to study the Bible. I love to know what the Bible is saying. I like to know who the character is, what the Bible is saying about the character, and the story that is behind what they're saying about the character of the Bible. I went down through some of the history books that I study, and I reach in and I get those things that some great men have said. Now, I don't know about you, but I admire and appreciate those who have been here before me. I went to Duke University. I appreciate the men that I sat under, because their life was built around what they had studied and learned, and then became willing to teach me about the things that they had learned, and I did learn from them. I listened very closely to everything they said, because they had been there, they had studied it, and I felt assured that they knew what they were talking about. And I respected their language because of who they were and what they had done to get to the place where they were. I read in one of the history books about Mr. Gorbachev. Now, Gorbachev was one of the Russian leaders several years back, as many of you know about him, but he was an atheist. Now keep that in mind. Mr. Gorbachev was an atheist. As a matter of fact, Russia was an atheistic nation. But Mr. Gorbachev was asked a question one day, and he said, "What is the answer for our world problems?" You see, they have their problems just like we do. Mr. Gorbachev, being the atheist, controlled in an atheist nation, listen to what he said. "I don't know. Only Jesus Christ would know what our solution would be." Coming from an atheistic nation would make a statement like this. They went on to ask him the question, "Well, how are we going to feed and meet the need of all the hungry people?" Mr. Gorbachev answered again, "Only Jesus Christ could feed so many with such little." An atheist, controlled in an atheist nation, would recognize that Jesus Christ was the only hope and the source of the world and also their people and the food and all of these things? It just doesn't seem real that an atheist leader would make a statement like that. Only Jesus has a solution. The Archbishop of Canterbury was asked the question, "What do you mean and what does it mean to be a Christian?" Here was his answer. "It is to be fully committed to Jesus Christ. Many religions point to God, but only Jesus Christ is the way to God." Only Jesus Christ is the way to God. This came from the Archbishop of Canterbury. What made Jesus so different? I mean, why was he so different? Am I to prove his difference? I went to the book of Genesis and I found this out. The Bible said in the very first verse of the Bible, "In the beginning God." And if you come from chapter to chapter and from prophet to prophet and from messenger to messenger, every one of them was trying to prove who God was. They were trying to say, if God be God, then serve God. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. Every one of them was saying to me and you, here is who God is. And that's why Jesus Christ made such a great big difference. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, he startled and astonished the people in such a way that they were murmuring among themselves, and they said one to another, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" They said about this man called Jesus, "No man ever spoke like this man." Who is this man called Jesus, and what does the Bible say about him? What made him so much different? I mean, after all, he was only born over 2,000 years ago in a very poor family. His mother didn't even have a roof over her head, only a borrowed stable. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Is he no different than any other little baby? Yet it's a name that is known throughout the whole world and the universe. Who is this man called Jesus? I mean, what's his mission? Well, I went back to my history books again. And Mr. H.G. Wells said this. They asked the question, who left the greatest impression upon history? If one judges a person by the greatness and by the historical standards, Jesus Christ stands head and shoulders above them all. Who is this man called Jesus? Kenneth Scott made this statement. As the centuries have passed, the evidence is still accumulating. It's still accumulating. Jesus is the most influential life that was ever lived upon this planet, and that his influence appears to be mounting every day. Who is this man called Jesus? History books have written about him. Preachers have preached about him. More songs have been written about him. People talk about him everywhere. There's never been a man any greater than Jesus Christ. Mr. Rindman made a statement, another great historian. He said Jesus was the greatest religious genius that ever lived. He is the most beautiful and is eternal. His reign shall never end. Jesus is ever respected. He's unique in every means. And nothing can be compared to Him. Now notice the last line, which really just blessed my heart when I read it. All of history would be totally incomprehensible without Jesus Christ. The world was formed around Him. The world was formed by Him. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Creator. The Bible said He came to the world, and the world knew Him not. He formed the world in the creation, the beginning of time. The Bible said He was the Word, the very Word of God incarnated in flesh. He came to a world that He created. He built a mountain that He would be crucified on. He grew the tree that He would hang upon. The greatest man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. And yet at His name, the mention of His name upset so many people. The name of Jesus has been the most upsetting word down through the pages of history. As a matter of fact, they're trying to change Christmas now, because Christmas begins with Christ. Have you thought about it? Christmas. Christmas begins with Christ. You take Christ out of Christmas, then you have no meaning for Christmas. Because the birth of Jesus Christ is what created the greatest celebrated day in all the world, is the day of Christmas. The day that Jesus Christ was born. He went about doing good. He healed the sick. He opened the blinded eyes. He made the lame to leap with joy. And yet He upset the Christian world like no other person. Who is this man called Jesus? Why is it that all the great leaders, of all the great leaders of the world, Jesus became the person who irritated and caused people to become upset? It brings me to another question. Why is it that Buddha don't do that?
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.